We continue this morning in our series about prophecy. Started several weeks ago. And prophecy is a tool that God uses to draw us to Him. And I believe, and especially today, of course, I'm thinking about and have been talking about drawing closer to God, hearing His voice. Certainly prophecy is one way that we hear God's voice when we're listening. Prophecy is the proclamation of God's truth, and it comes in many forms, comes in many ways or many expressions. The prophecy is proclamation, and we're thankful today that God is speaking to us. He is still speaking to us. It isn't just that God spoke to prophets in the Old Testament and gave them these amazing words and visions and messages for God's people. But the truth is, God's taking every one of those prophecies and He's applying it to us today. That's what I believe about the Bible and the Scriptures. It was written, these prophecies that we're going to read here this morning were written 2,600 years ago. And every one of them are written to speak to us too. And I believe that prophecy. And in the Old Testament, some of the prophets are very intense and colorful. And we kind of read what they write. And at least this is how I feel. Sometimes I kind of sit back and go, wow, what in the world is this about? But we do realize that every one of those prophecies have a context. And if we are able to see them and hear them and study them, they are very valuable to us. The prophets are of great value, both in the expression of the Bible, but also in the deepening of our faith. And they teach us about God's love and God's hand on us. They teach us that we are moving through something that God created called time. And He speaks to us through time in different ways. Last week we read about Ezekiel's holy calling. We read those chapters 1 through 3 about... Would you go on a couple of slides, please? We read about Ezekiel and his calling of God and how unique he was. Every one of the prophets are unique. Again, sometimes we read the prophets and we wonder, what's God saying to us? Well, Ezekiel, 48 chapters, full of imagery, full of visions. And God chose this man, Ezekiel, to be the messenger, speaking to him directly. God chose this man, Ezekiel, to come to many times, described in the book of Ezekiel, these 48 chapters, and speak to Ezekiel and say, Ezekiel, now it's your time, it's your turn to take the message to my people. His task was not always easy. The prophet's tasks were not always easy. In fact, probably a third to half the prophets you read in their prophesying how difficult it was for them to do what God called them to do. They often did not bring good news, and they often were not accepted and loved by the kings and by the people. But God called them to do that. Ezekiel himself, his audience was a rebellious people who had fallen terribly. They had been broken. Their country had been decimated. Their city had been ransacked. The temple had been burned down. And many of the people were drug off in slavery to Egypt. And these are the people that Ezekiel was ministering to. But God was sending Ezekiel to them. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 3 reminds us of the message that Ezekiel had and why God called him. In verse 3 it says, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious people. Listen to this last statement. They will know that a prophet has been among them. They will know that God has spoken to them. And so I say this morning, as we continue to read about Ezekiel and his vision, I hope today, whatever you're thinking about, whatever's on your mind and your heart, that you will say, I know that God's Word has spoken to me. God has spoken to me. That's what God said would happen when we hear His Word. For all the carnage and suffering that came to these people because of their stubbornness, God had not given up on them. God had not given up on His people. And here in this book that has such judgment and words of terrible judgment, then come the words of God's comfort and mercy and loving kindness. And that's why I say when we read people like Ezekiel, we are reading the nature of God. We are reading that He's a holy and a just God. We are hearing that He is a God that holds us accountable for sins. And He is a God also that is loving and kind and wants to redeem and forgive us. He's long-suffering, the Bible says. And so today, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the prophet Ezekiel. At this time in his life, at the beginning of his ministry, it would seem that he was 25 years old when the Babylonian army destroyed Jerusalem. And now he's 30 years old when we begin to read the narrative that's recorded of his life. Sometimes when we think of the Old Testament prophets, I always think of old people, you know, white, long hair, way down to their, you know, down to their belt, and, you know, their hair's going everywhere, because we kind of have some imagery of the prophets. But there is a variety of the prophets and their ages and what they said and when and how old they were. When Ezekiel started, he was a young man. When God placed His finger on Ezekiel at the age of 30, according to chapter 1, God was calling this young man to prophesy and to speak for him. He saw many visions. Again, I said before that depending how you count them, 7 major visions, but within every vision there are messages and stories and imagery, and they just kind of, again, go on this timeline of God revealing Himself at this time period to this group of people in the context of His overall relationship with them. He gave them a lot of specific messages. Some are of judgment. In fact, the first 2/3 of the book are about judgment. Judgment on God's people because of their terrible failures and unwillingness to soften their hearts before God. And He also explains to them about what God has done and God is going to do. And then the last part of the book is about hope. And it's a beautiful section of the book of how God has not forgotten the people. And no matter what's happened, God is still thinking about them and He wants them to come back. His words are spoken through to us so that we can see how merciful God is. The mercy of God is so real in the book of Ezekiel, in the last section, the last part of it. His words are spoken to us. Sometimes they seem extreme, sometimes they seem fanciful, but every word has a purpose. Every part of God's Word has a target. And in Ezekiel, we see much of that target. 3 sections of Ezekiel. Judgment on Israel. Go on to that next slide, would you please? Judgment on Israel's neighbors, and then the hope and the restoration that God brings to His people. God has not given up on His people. God has not given up on any generation. God's heart is as broken with what's going on in this world as He was in Ezekiel's day. God's heart is as broken today with the pain and the sin in our world and the hurt that He was in Noah's day when He said He was grieved that He had made man. God is a just, loving God. And He's a God of mercy. And Ezekiel shows us that God is reaching out to us. You can see God's progressive hand if you read all through those 48 chapters. The fifth year in chapter 1. And the fifth year of the captivity, I should say, in chapter 1. And then we go to the end of the book and we come to the 20th year. And so you have 15 years of God revealing Himself through this prophet Ezekiel to give these messages of judgment and then hope and restoration. 20 years later, then, we come to the end of the book, and his vision is about hope and God's speaking to his people. For example, I want to read from chapter 40. Ezekiel has a vision of rebuilding the temple. And you think, well, you've heard a lot about the temple in the Old Testament, but understand that when Ezekiel's writing this, there is no temple. It has been destroyed. It has been burned down. The possessions of the temple have been carried away to Babylon. And so the people are now, they've been in Babylon or in that area for 20 years. They have no temple. They really have no way to worship God as they did before. And so we come to the end of the book, and then Ezekiel gives them God's vision of a new temple. Ezekiel says, God came to me and he told me that there's going to be a new temple. Go to chapter 40 if you want to, and I want to read a part of this story of what God says about the temple. In the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month, in the 14th year after the fall of the city, on that very day the hand of the Lord was on me, and he took me there. In visions of God, he took me to the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain, on whose south side were some buildings that looked like a city. He took me there. I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze. He was standing in the gateway with a linen cord and a measuring rod in his hand. The man said to me, Son of man, look carefully and listen closely and pay attention to everything I'm going to show you, for that is why you have been brought here. Tell the people of Israel everything. I saw a wall completely surrounding the temple area. The length of the measuring rod in the man's hand was 6 long cubits, each of which was a cubit and a handbreadth. He measured the wall. It was one measuring a rod thick and one rod high. That's enough to get the idea and the picture of this vision that God gave to Ezekiel toward the end of the book, almost at the end of the book. And he says to the people, Ezekiel, I'm going to take you back to Jerusalem. He's living in Babylon, but God takes him in this vision across those 350, 400 miles and places Ezekiel on top of a high mountain overlooking Jerusalem, and God gives him a vision of what he's going to do. God is going to allow that temple to be rebuilt and the people to be able to come, and the next 4 chapters or so are about how God's going to restore the people to worship him and relationship with him. It's a beautiful vision. It's a vision that includes things that have been lost. And maybe the people are thinking, as they're there in Babylon by the river Kedar, there's no hope anymore. We've blown it. It's over. God has brought his judgment. The Babylonians have destroyed our land, and we will never, ever be able to enjoy it again. But God says, Ezekiel, I'm taking you to Jerusalem, and you tell the people that I'm going to restore them. They're going to have a new temple, and it will be beautiful. One of the visions that God has given to this man. God has a future for the people. He tells them, though you have sinned and you are broken and you are lost, I have a vision. And then the second vision that I want to talk about this morning is what is kind of the meat of what I want to communicate today. It's a vision to me that is probably one of the most graphic visions and stories in the whole Bible. I mean the whole Bible. There's stories that are incredible. So many of them in the Bible. But I want to say this morning, what I want to talk about for the next 15 minutes or so is one of the most incredible passages in the whole Bible. I hope that this vision impacts your life spiritually. It's a vision that's very graphic. It's a vision that's very real to me. Because I've been in the place many times in my Christian life that are described in Ezekiel chapter 37. In fact, I believe Ezekiel chapter 37 was not just for the people in Babylon 2,600 years ago, but I believe that chapter 37 is for the church today. I believe that this chapter, let me say it again, and I'll say it literally what I think right now. This vision is for the church today. Can these dry bones live again? Can God do it? Can God renew us, revive us, bring us back again to His purpose for the church? Is that possible? And by that question, I don't mean that the church no longer is connected to God's vision, because I always believe it's a mixed bag spiritually. Sometimes we feel stronger spiritually than other times. Sometimes we feel close to God and, boy, we feel on fire and we feel connected and we hear and believe that God is speaking to us. But if you're like me, it doesn't always feel that way. There's sometimes when I feel more hungry and thirsty and maybe a little drier, and maybe I wonder if the things of life, as Jesus talked about in His parable of the sower, are true of me, where the seed went into the ground and it grew up and the plant began to do great, and then there were other things that came in and weeds and other things that began to choke the life out of that healthy plant so that it was not productive. The reality that I'm thinking about in connection to this story this morning is the reality of productiveness of our Christian faith. What impact do we have on bringing people to Christ? What impact do we have in our everyday life of all the things that we have dealt with in the past and in this year? Is God using those things in our lives to bring people to faith in Christ and bring us to a place of loving Him with all our hearts, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves? Ezekiel gives us a vision of dry bones. God gives us a vision, I should say, through Ezekiel. Ezekiel is simply prophesying. He's telling us God's Word. It's about revival, about renewal, about reconnecting with God's Spirit once again. So this morning, this scripture and this story isn't for people that are totally lost or people that have turned their back on God. It's for all of us. It's for the church. Maybe you feel like you are in a valley, and maybe you don't today. Maybe you feel tired. Maybe you feel a little uncertain and confused with all the stuff coming at you, and you don't know what to think and feel sometimes. And maybe you wonder, where is God in the midst of all that? Ezekiel chapter 37. Going to read 14 verses. The story of the dry bones. The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. Remember, this is His vision. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, You alone know." Then He said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breathe from the four winds and breath into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then He said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the bones of the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. The first thought that came to me as I was thinking about this story and this message this morning is the question, do we believe there is hope? Do we believe that God can do something in our lives and our spirits? Verse 3, simply, Ezekiel, ask it like this. Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? You notice God is asking Ezekiel that. Ezekiel's to then ask the people, can these bones live? Sometimes it might not look like it. It might not feel like it. You might have things in your life that feel so big and overwhelming that you wonder, can God ever speak to me again? Sometimes there's a place in our lives where we wonder, is it possible that God even knows what I'm dealing with and what I'm going through? And am I just so unusual and out of the way and out of the mainstream that God would put me on the other list? Can't do it for him. Can't do it for her. These people, yes, the Israelite people. Oh, these poor people by the river Kadar, and they've lost everything. Some are disconnected from their families and their possessions, and they've been moved to another land. And God, yeah, he can do it for them. The question is, can God do it for you? Can God do it for me? And then he says, look, see, and listen for what God can do. We ask the question naturally, is it possible? Could God take me when I'm dry? Can he fill me with his spirit again? Look for what God can do, Ezekiel says. You see, it's one thing to talk about renewal and, well, it's things I've got to do. And there's a part of that. You've got to be willing. Unless you are willing to humble yourself before God's Spirit, renewal and revival will not come to your life. You have an attitude that you already know what God can do and what he can't do. You've already informed God, this is the way I am and you're not going to change me. See, I've always been that way. Yeah, I know it's not the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, I know it's not what God wants for me. But God, you don't understand. I'm the way I am. Can the bones live again? Look and see, Ezekiel says. Listen to what God says. You want personal renewal and closeness to God? Stop telling God what he can't do in your personality, in your life, in your attitude. Stop informing God what he's able to do. You think any of them dry bones called out from the floor and said, God, you can't do it. Look and see what God can do. Not on your own, not on my own, but only with God's Spirit. You understand how high God is compared to us? You know how high he is? Holy, infinite, wise, all-knowing. It's a mighty, awesome God who gives us this vision. It's not this pipsqueak God that can do some things. God can do what we can't understand and we can't figure out and we've given up on in the past. So the question today, can these bones live again? Are you willing to look and see and listen? Without the Holy Spirit, that is what we have spiritually. Our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit so much. I said a few weeks ago, whenever we study the Scriptures, we need the Holy Spirit to show us what it means. To show us what God is saying. To illuminate. I love that word, illuminate. It's the same with renewal. We need the Holy Spirit to illuminate. If we try to do it on our own with our own flashlights, it won't be enough. You ever feel like you tend to inform God of who He is and what He can do instead of asking God to turn on His lights? Let the mighty, awesome God turn on His lights, and then you can hear His voice. Listen to His voice. Hear God's voice today. Then He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. You see, God says that He will give us something. Sovereign Lord, verse 3 says. Remember, this is the Sovereign Lord speaking, and that's a title that Ezekiel gives Him. I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. The Sovereign Lord alone knows what you need in your heart spiritually and your life. Hear God's voice. And the next thing you know, after God spoke, there was a rattling. Just imagine in the valley. There begins to be a rattling. Something stirring, rumbling. The power of God is at work, quickening. The Holy Spirit is spoken to hearts, and there begins to be a tenderizing. Start to unpack us and our knowledge. Everything we have informed God about, as that voice comes through, there begins to be a rattling. A rattling. God has the power to rattle us. God has the power to stir us. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And you will know that I am the Lord. God begins to speak. God begins to rattle. We're not healthy yet, but we're at that place where we're willing to listen. We're willing to humble ourselves before God as He begins to put us back together. He begins to restore the joy of our salvation. For many of you, do you remember back what it was like when you became a Christian? I remember that. I remember when I was 15 and I kind of finally made that decision, although I had made it several times. But I remember that point when I was 15. I've told this story many times here in 19 years, but I'll say it again. I was 15 years old and a missionary came to our church, and I have no idea what she was about other than she said every person had to make the decision for themselves about salvation. I just remember that. And I remember when I was age 15, it just kind of hit me. I've been kind of riding the coattails of my parents a little bit, you know. And I went to the altar. It was on that side. And I knelt down and I said, Jesus, I want to walk with you the rest of my life. Would you take me? When I got up from that altar, I never doubted a minute that He had forgiven me and taken my sins away. I kind of wish maybe someday God will let me live that day again in that moment and that preciousness. But some of you haven't experienced. Some of you it was over time more and others were very immediate. But just go back to that. What did it mean when you came to that day of faith? You had that hope and that joy in your heart. See, that's when the bones are all connected and the skin covered them and the breath was in them. But you know, sometimes life pulls that away a little bit, or circumstances, or just that we're too busy. We're so busy, and we lose that. But God wants to renew us. There was a rattling. And then my fifth point in that category is this. God has the power to stir your heart. Know that. He has the power to stir your heart. I don't believe it's like, oh, God knows us. He knows that sometimes we just jump right up off the mat and we say, okay, God, let's get it right today. And other times it's more like, oh, and we start to get up. But I want you to know that wherever you're at, if you move toward God, He'll move toward you. And He knows where you're at. I do notice here between verse 8 and verse 9, something happened. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. They were moving towards something. Sometimes that's the way it is in spiritual renewal. It takes some time. We give God a chance. Then you go to verse 9. Then He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Listen, prophesy to the breath. Prophecy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. When God's breath comes into you, you will be a changed person. This word for breath in the Old Testament is an incredible word. Most of you have heard this word before. It's a Hebrew word, ruach. The breath of God. Ezekiel says, the breath of God come into your heart and your spirit and your bones and your life, and then you will live again. When the breath of God comes, we need God's breath. The wind of God's Spirit. Here's another translation of ruach, life force of God. He breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And here, Ezekiel uses the same word and says, prophesy that God will breathe into you, and you will become living again. God wants to put that breath into you and to me. His Spirit to give us life. Verse 6, the end of it says, I will put my breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Boy, then we'll know. Then we'll sense it, then we'll feel it. I am the Lord. Do you want the breath of God in your life, in your spirit? Would you stand with me? Come, everyone who is thirsty in spirit. That's the invitation. Today I want to invite you to quiet yourself for a few minutes before we leave and say, God, I need your spirit. I want your spirit. If you'd like to come and pray this morning at the altar, invite you to do that. Oh, God wants His ruach in us. He knows when that breath is receded and we don't sense it and hear it and feel it anymore. Don't you want God's life force in you today? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the life force of who You are. That You are a God who sees us. You know everything about us, God. You know our past. You know our sin. You know where we have fallen away. You know where we're broken, God, and our life is full of pain. And this chapter gives us a picture of what God wants to do for us, that He wants to renew us, that He wants to restore us and make our bones live again, our spirits close to You, and Lord, focused on the things that You want it to be. I know today, God, that You care about every person that's here, everybody that can hear my voice this morning, that You want us to be drawn to You and Your life force. I pray, God, that we would ask that basic question in the very beginning, can these bones live again? And we will begin to listen and look and see what God wants to do. Lord, help us to be humbled before You today. Help us, God, to go on a journey with You, to be closer to You, to listen to You. God, to hear what You want to say to us so that we would be people alive and on fire for You, that we would be the church that You want the church to be, Father, I pray. I realize in the original context, it was the church of the Old Testament that You were bringing back to life. I pray, God, that You would help our church to be alive for You. Help us to be focused on the things that You want us to, God. Have a hunger and a passion for You, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank You for being here today. God bless.